page Lamed Zayin. Now we're going to break down the 24 things. I'm just going to elaborate in detail the 24 things which are Ma'akev Tshuva. There are 24 things a person can be guilty of that will prevent him from doing Teshuva and prevent Hashem from accepting his Teshuva, as long as he still continues to be in violation of these important matters. The Eluhei Mishalkim Be'inyonon. These 24 matters are going to be divided into categories. Ki einam kulam shavim ba'oinesh. They're not all the same. The punishment for these things are not all the same. Uve inyan hateshuva yesh mehem dvadim me'alim darkei hashuv b'fnei oisehen. And in regard to doing teshuva, there are things which prevent a person from doing teshuva the proper way. Okay, so now we're going to go into detail. Here we go. Okay, remember, we have 24 things. There are 24 items that we learned yesterday. These 24 items can be broken down into different categories. Each one is unique. Each one carries a different weight, a weight of severity, which will prevent him from succeeding in doing teshuva. Number one, ha'poresh midarkei tzibur, a person who does not follow the tzibur. What does that mean? Shebizman sheyasu teshuva lo ye'imohem. We learned this yesterday. We began to elaborate just a little bit about this yesterday. When the tzibur does teshuva, lo ye'imohem v'lo yiske imohem bazuchuyoy sheheim oisim. If the tzibur, there's a call for teshuva, there is something very important in the community, and the rabbonim, his rabbi, asks that everyone attend a gathering of teshuva, and he decides it's not for him. So that is called being poresh from the tzibur. And when the tzibur merits, when they do teshuva and they merit to succeed in their quest for teshuva, he will not have a portion. Number two, v'acholik al divrei chachamim lefi shemachlekes goyim loy lefresh mehem. A person that disagrees, he has a disagreement with words of the chachamim. This also is a reason why a person will not do teshuva, because if he is not on good terms with the chachamim, with the rabbanim, who instruct them to do teshuva, he's not going to learn the technique. He's not going to learn what's important, what's not important. Number three, mevaza es rabbis, a person is mevaza his teachers. This, that's something that's very severe. This causes a person to be driven out of this world. If a person is driven out from this world, he is chutz l'machaneh, there's no one that's going to teach him the emes. If you notice, there's a pattern in all of the things that he's saying, and that is, you need, every person, every individual needs instruction. He needs instruction from the tzibur, he needs instruction from the chachamim. He needs someone to tell him what's correct, what is incorrect. If a person severs his relationship with the tzibur, with his rav, with the chachamim, then there's no one out there that can possibly give him guidance. Next, the hamalik al hamitzvah, the person that maks the mitzvahs. Shekevan shehem nivzois be'inav lo ye oil oilam rodif achareyam. If a person, if the mitzvahs are disgusting in his eyes, he will never have a desire to pursue them. V'lo yichavavim, v'lo yasa, he's not going to love them, and he's not going to do them. Next, v'asoyneyes ha'toy checha, a person who hates Musar. Ki achre asher yisne ha'moychicha, after he hates the one who gives him rebuke, lo'olim lo yimotzei moychiach madrichoy b'erech ha'toyva, no one will ever guide him on a correct path. V'atoy checha'is gar Gormin es hateshuva, a person needs toichacha. Musar is what brings a person to do teshuva. Shevizman shem moidiim loy laadam chetoy umachlimim moiso. When a person, they inform that he has done an avera and they put him to shame, asu misnachem al dato, he has regret, v'choizer bishuva. Okay, that, by the way, that's just a general term. Choizer bishuva. It's not, it doesn't call a baal teshuva. Baal teshuva is a very funny expression. The term Chazal use for a person that does teshuva is someone who is choizer bishuva. That's the Chazal's term. Today we call people who who were once upon a time irreligious and now have become religious, we call them a Baal Teshuvah. I don't know where that term came from. I have no idea. But Chazal, when they refer to a person, is someone who's Chozer. Chozer means, it's a more refined expression.
Someone because was originally okay, and then right became bad. But maybe someone who never was okay.
So that's exactly, someone who was never bad, your neshama was good to begin with. You're always returning. Because that's where you come from. A Jew comes from good stock. Unless a person is a convert. A person's a Jew, even though he wasn't religious a day in his life. But this is where I come from.
And
I know, that's the colloquial expression.
Then he became non-religious, then he decided to come back.
Right, but every person, this term of Baal Teshuvah is a new term that was invented by someone and caught on the whole world. Chazal do not use the word Baal Teshuvah. They don't use that term. The term that they use is Chozer B'Shuvah. And if you think about it, it's a more refined expression. Because the Baal Teshuvah means, first of all, it doesn't make any sense. Baal means I'm a master. I'm a master of Teshuvah. No one's a master over anything. I say a Baal Kore. He is the master, he's the Baal boss over the reading of the Torah. So first of all, many people tell us that it's grammatically incorrect. It's the Baal Kriya, not a Baal Kore. I don't know if that's really a critique, that's a grammar issue. Chazal don't ever use the term Baal Teshuvah. It doesn't really make any sense. I am the master, I am the person who of Teshuvah, who's doing Teshuvah. The correct term is Chozer B'Shuvah. I am returning through Teshuvah. A Jew's neshama is holy. He may have made mistakes. It's not his fault. This is the way he was brought up. He did not know better. But when he does teshuvah, he's coming back to his roots. His roots are Har Sinai. Every Jew's neshama was in Har Sinai. It's kedai just to learn this.
That's a greater word.
What?
Greater.
It's much more. Powerful. It's not. Baal is not accurate. It doesn't really make any sense. It was kedai just to learn today, to learn, and just to dwell upon this theme. Is that a person who would we call colloquially a Baal Teshuvah is really, in the eyes of Chazal, a Chozer B'Shuvah. That's the correct term. Okay, let's go further. We don't know if you're a Yisoid. The Yisoid is no pain, no gain. That's the Yisoid of life. No pain, no gain. You think you're just going to take out a Mesilas Yisharim and you're going to become a Tzaddik? That's not the way it works. You know you become a Baal Teshuvah? Someone beats you over the head. Someone is mevaze you. You go to a Musa yeshiva and they let you have it. That is the only way a person will come to do tshuva. So in fact, some yeshiva, there's a certain rule. Today you don't do this anymore. Today it's unheard of because today we live in a crazy world. But it used to be in the olden days when you went to a yeshiva, especially a Musa yeshiva. Talk about Slobodka, talk about Navardik. Even all the yeshivas were Musa yeshivas. In Europe, the old yeshivas, the old products are Michel Salander. There is a different Shulchan Aruch, I'm not joking, a different Shulchan Aruch of an Adam Lachavero in the yeshiva than outside the yeshiva. Basically, when you come into the yeshiva, you're signing on the dotted line, I'm Meichala my Kavod. I'm giving you 100% permission to be Mevazim Yibarabim. Today, you walk into a shul, and you're Mevazim Yibarabim, you're finished, you're dead. Okay, you'll never be able to walk. You can't be, and that's the halacha. It says the Chazal, you mevaz a son b'rabim ain loy chelik loylam haba. It's pasha. That's correct. Yes, you are. You're allowed to be meichel on your kavod. When you go into a yeshiva gadol, a musa yeshiva, by walking into the door of the musa yeshiva, you're leaving the world. You're leaving the regular world, the regular conventions, the regular rules of being mevaz a chaverei b'rabim. You're accepting upon yourself that the Rebbe has permission to be mevaze you b'rabim. And this was done by Kavanim because the only way, basically, this principle from the Sefer Chassidim is no pain, no gain. If you think you're going to sit and learn for 10 minutes, Mesilas Yesharim, and you're going to turn into the next Rishol Salanter, then you're living under a rock. You're living in a fantasy world. Because the only way a person comes Lidei Teshuvah is through Bizyonos, to experience what it means to be humiliated. And the how is one humiliated? You go into a yeshiva where you give your Rebbe permission to humiliate you. And when he humiliates you, you feel it. You really feel it. And you're there for a prolonged period of time, and the goal is that when you leave the yeshiva after X number of years, you go out into the big wide world, you're a different person. Now, when you go out into the big wide world, you have no right to be mevazeh someone else. Like I told you, outside in the street, you follow the rules. You're mevazeh chaveroi berabim, ein loy chelek lo'olam haba, but not in yeshiva. Yeah. Make a mistake?
No, moichel for the kahanim.
Sorry, if you, yeah?
Instead of a kohen, you...
To be moichel, no, that's a different, that's an entirely different concept. Because who says the kahanim should get the first aliyah anyway? That's a whole different concept. That you're being moichel on your kohen. A kohen is not allowed to be moichel. A kohen has to step out of shul. If a kohen is, it's a kohen of chazal, the first one to get the aliyah is a kohen, no matter what, whether you like it or not, even a kohen amaretz. The only thing is, a kohen, you can ask him, it's controversial, can you ask the kohen to step out of shul? This is Musar. He's not discussing over here. That's Kovet. There's need of Kovet over here. I know normally when you're not getting Kovet, it's a bazaar. That's true. But that's a different concept. Here we're talking about learning Musar, becoming a Choyzer Beshuva. It comes with pain. And we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was mevazeh. He was mevazeh klaus because it was in a different setting. It was in the setting of giving musar. In the Vardik, everyone knows the stories. They would teach the Talmidim to go into the grocery, to go into the bakery shop, and to ask them for lumber. Could I have 3 2x4s and a box of nails? And you do this in front of all the customers. And the person behind the counter says, "Shaita, this is a bakery. This is not a lumber yard." And that hurts. If you're a human being, when the person behind the counter says that to you in front of 50 customers, it hurts. It hurts. Then you go into the lumber yard and you say, "Can I have 2 dozen eggs and a bagel?" Shaita, this is a lumber yard. This is not the bagel hole. What? This is not the bagel hole. So it is bizyoinais. It is bize bizyoinais. You bring it upon yourself. Now, that's what you do, you bring upon yourself, but in the yeshiva, in the walls of the yeshiva, it was understood and accepted that when you walk in the walls in the yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, or the Mashkiach, will be mevaziyu. If he does not like what he sees, he'll be mevaziyu in front of all of the Talmidim. And it's going to hurt. Oh, how could the Rebbe do this? Ein lechelek l'olam haba. There is an understanding that this is the training ground. This is the farm. Okay, this is training ground, and they have full permission to train you to be mevaze you, to be mochiach you, and that's the only way it works. Today, there's no discipline. Today we have a big problem on our hands. Today there is no such thing as Musa. It does not exist. You know why it doesn't exist? Because today in the Beis Medrash, very similar, why it doesn't exist. Today you're not allowed to hit. Okay, you know, you go to jail if you hit someone, and maybe rightfully so, because we don't know how to hit anymore. Okay, you go straight to jail if you touch a child, and if you mevaze a child, you'll be sued for ruining his life because you'll be thrown out because you've damaged him psychologically. So today, you have to be nice and pleasant and polite. Okay, maybe that's what the generation. Rabbi Scholzer, it's too much talking. That's what the generation calls for today. But there's a trade-off. The trade-off is there's no such thing as Musar. And to fool ourselves and think that learning a Mesilas Yesharim for 10 minutes a day, it doesn't work like that. You have to go out into the field and feel the pain, and feel the pain of Bizyonis. And we don't have that today anymore, at least not now in this generation, because just that's the way it's structured. And that comes with a very steep, heavy price of not having a generation of people who are Balei Musar. No pain, no gain. Learning Mesilas Yesharim is not going to do you justice. You know who are the big Balei Musar today? Some of the Rabbanim. Some of the Rabbanim, because the Rabbanim, the garbage they take is Haflei V'Fel, what Rabbanim take. And some of them, they take it and they use it to their advantage to become Balei Musar. I once saw a Rav. I really, you know, just to show what Rabbanim, because it's a small thing, but it really speaks volumes of what kind of garbage Rabbanim take. It's a teeny little maisa. It's not a very significant maisa, but I was so impressed how the Rav responded. It's a very famous, everyone here knows who this rabbi is. He's a very big name. He came to give a shir, Mitzvah Shabbos, on the sugya, on one of the sugyas in Daf Yomi. We have a shir, a sugyas fun Daf Yomi, called. They give every once a week, they take a sugya, and whatever, learn Daf Yomi, and they speak for an hour. 45 minutes, they talk lobdis, and the last 15 minutes, 10 minutes, they say a verse from the parasha. Okay, some of the rabbanim take it more seriously than others. Some of them, the rashivas, they really prepare very, very hard. Some don't prepare so hard. Okay, so this particular Rav, I would say his shir was somewhere in the middle. He prepared, he definitely put time and effort. It was late, it was Shabbos, he was very tired. You can see he was very tired, he had a very long Shabbos. A rabbi works very hard on Shabbos, he's a very big shul. And he came there, and it was a, you know, average crowd, nothing to be, and he gave the shir. And he put in his koiches for a whole hour. And everyone's still sitting around, the shir is over, a guy gets up. The guy was like, you know, and he goes over to him, and people are still listening. And he says to the Rav, he says, can I ask you a question? And he was very serious, this fellow. Where did you buy your hamburger? Where did you buy your hamburger? You wore a hamburger hat. Where, it's very nice. Where did you buy it? I also want to, and he was serious. It's like a chashev, a guy, you know, he thinks he's a big ask, and he thinks he's a chashev person. He also asked, where's the hamburger? Where did you buy your hamburger? Where did you buy it? Which store? I want to get, it's very nice. I want to get one like that also. So the people who were still sitting around were stunned. Were stunned, like this poor rabbi spent a whole day, probably from 6 in the morning until it was a late Shabbos, until 8 o'clock, working, getting up to appear his shiur. And he gave a shiur before davening. And then he has to, you know, be on call the whole davening and watch what's going on. He gives a drasha. And then he has to give a shiur in the afternoon. And he has to have a meal and invite people and answer shilas and then give the blat shiur. And then shalas shudis and deal with people and shilas and crazy people and all this and that. You know what goes on in shul. And then finally Shabbos up, and he has to run. He gives the shiur. And someone he prepare the shiur. And he says the shiur. And that's all you can say to him when it's over. You don't say yashu koyach. You don't say to him, let's talk in learning the chiddush that you said. Let's be mafalpel. Where did you buy your hamburg? I also want to buy a hamburg. I also wear a hamburg. I now am in the market to buy a new hamburg. I want to get a nice one like you. Where did you buy your hamburg?
At least you like that.
And he says to him, without beating an eyelash, I bought in Bencraft. Like I was amazed how he didn't take offense. He just accepted it. And then I realized that this guy is abused the whole day. And this was just like, this is nothing. This, listen, you're not ranking me out of the paper. Listen, this is nothing. You're not cursing me out of the newspaper. You didn't write a blog about me that I did some terrible crime. You didn't sue me, call the police, and tell them that I'm a moiser for doing this. Big deal. The guy wants to know where I bought the hamburg. Big deal. It was like, yeah, as long as I'm not... But it showed me, it just was a revelation, is that like, this is just a person. He was able to answer with such, so natural. It just revealed to me, well, he must take a lot of garbage. And this was nothing. And he does. I know that he does. And this was just water off a duck.
So when you sign away that the Rebbe can advise you, isn't that signing away self-respect, self-esteem?
Well, in our generation, yes. In our generation, for sure it is. So that's why it doesn't exist. But you go back 100 years ago, people strive to become better people, to change their midos. And the only way you're gonna become a better person, you're going to humble yourself for real, is through pain. It's not going to happen. Learning it, you say 100 times, I'm a nothing, I'm a garnish. You can say it a million times. It's nonsense. You know how you feel you're a piece of garbage? When people treat you like a piece of garbage. Then, you're a humble person.
Then you're supposed to work your way back up to normal?
You know, then the effect, the combination of experiencing what it means to feel that pain and then living your life, it's a different life. Look, the story, the ultimate story in this respect, we mentioned this, is the story with Rav Grussmand. There's no better story than this to explain what this means. Rav Grossman, he came, he had a very difficult life. He came to America. He was a Rosh Hashiva, and everyone offered him to be the Rosh HaYeshiva. Tar V'das put on a silver platter, they wanted him to make him the Rosh HaYeshiva. The Rav Kahaneman, Panovich, offered him to be the Rosh HaYeshiva of Panovich. Miri Yeshiva offered him, if I'm not mistaken. Every Yeshiva, there was no bigger Talmud Chacham Rav Grossman. Everyone in the silver platter offered him to be, he was the biggest Talmud Chacham. He was Rav Chaim Oizer's Dayan. He was a Dayan Rav Chaim Oizer when he was like 19 years old. So he was an Ilu, he was a Goyin, he was a Balmides, he was everything. Everyone wanted him after the war. He survived the war, miraculously survived the war. And he wasn't interested. Mainly was because all of these yeshivas that offered him a job, they already had Rosh Yeshivas. And he knew by becoming the Rosh Yeshiva in these places, he would be stepping on other people's toes. So he didn't want to go step on other people's toes. That's what it seems to be the main reason. He got a job where in Lubavitch. The Lubavitcher Rebbe appointed him as the Rosh Yeshiva for Lubavitch. At Kadekach, the meaning of Lubavitch is that the Rosh Yeshiva gives a bracha to the Rebbe. I think it's Erev Yom Kippur. The Rosh Yeshiva is a very powerful position. I don't know today how it's structured today. And he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Lubavitch for a period of time, not that long, and then he left. And he made his own yeshiva, he made his own yeshiva. It was a small yeshiva, I don't think it was that matzliach. And then he moved to Eretz Yisrael and he made his own yeshiva. His yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael is still going today. It's run by, I imagine, his family, I'm not exactly sure, but he moved to Eretz Yisrael. When he came to Eretz Yisrael and he opened up a yeshiva, I told you the story, it's an amazing story, but it shows what it means, no pain, no gain. He opened up his yeshiva, so he didn't have any money. He did not have money for the yeshiva, so obviously the food that they purchased for the yeshiva did not have the best hechsher. There was food that had better hechsherim than what he allowed into his yeshiva. So there were people in the community, these young hotheads, that wanted him to upgrade his standard of kashrus. And they came to him, and they threatened him. And they said to him, Rabbi Grossman, if you will upgrade your standard of kashrus to a higher level, then we will give you kavod. We will write in the newspaper about you very nice things. But we're warning you, if you don't upgrade your standard of kashrus in your yeshiva, then we control the media, we control the newspapers here. We're not going to give you honor. We're gonna be nasty, because we have standards here in this community, and you are not meeting those standards. These little schnooks are talking to the Gadol Hadar like this. They don't know who they're talking to. So he says to them, this is it's a very famous story. I'm sure you've all heard it one time. He says to them, you're threatening me with kavod and bezionis? If I listen, you're going to give me kavod? And if I don't listen, you're threatening you're going to be mevazini? You little 20-year-olds? This is what you're threatening? Let me tell you what it means about kavod, and let me tell you what it means bezionis. Kavod, do you know who I am? All humility aside, do you know who I am? I was Rav Chaim Oizer Grudinsky. He was the Gadol Hador of Chaim Oizer, Poland. Gadol Hador. I was on his bezdin. I was 19 years old. And Rav Chaim Oizer appointed me to be a dayan on his bezdin. You have no clue what it means, kavod. That was kavod in a world that doesn't exist anymore. A world that was completely destroyed. I had kavod. I know the tam of kavod. What it means, kavod. Here you're coming to give me kavod. You, 20-year-old guy who don't even know the aleph base. You don't even know the difference between your right and left hand. You're going to write in the newspaper something nice about me. I need you to give me kavod. What kind of crazy thing is this? You want to be mevazim me? You're going to be threatening me? Let me tell you what it means, bezionis. I had a child. His name was Meir. He never stopped mourning for this child. He was his only son. He had a daughter, but he had a son. In the war, at some point in time, I'm not exactly sure of the details, the Nazis took him, and they took him while he was holding his child, and they beat him. They beat him, and they beat his child to death while he was holding his Ben Yochid, that he loved to no end. After they finished beating him, and he was nearly dead, Kamat dead, and the child was dead, they took him and the child, and they threw him into a cesspool. You know what a cesspool is? Okay, tsoya, human waste, in the cesspool. And they left him there to die. After the Nazis walked away, he miraculously got up. He cleaned, he picked up his dead child, he cleaned him, he took off his shoes, he buried his dead child, he took the shoes and he sold them for a few pennies to buy his starving wife and daughter a piece of bread, while he himself was nearly dead. You know what it felt like that moment? You know what life felt like that moment? After my Ben Yochid died, I saw the Nazis beat to death in my own arms, and they threw me and him into a cesspool, and I had to sell his shoes to buy a piece of bread for my wife and daughter. You know what bezioinos means? You know what it means to feel like life is nothing? I know what it means. And you, who in the world do you think you are to threaten me that if I don't upgrade my standard of kashrus, you're going to be mevaze me? I know what it means. You don't know what it means, pain and kavod, from reading books. You only know what it means, pain and kavod, from experience in life. And that's what it says here. And in the olden days, I don't know about kavod, there wasn't much kavod in the olden days, but there was obviously, but when you talk about learning Musar, Musar meant you go to a Musar yeshiva, and going to a Musar yeshiva means there are no rules here. There are. That's what it means. It means the mashkiach and the rashiva will be mevazeh you in front of the whole yeshiva, in front of all your friends, reveal your sins, humiliate you, to teach you what it means, Musar. To give you a taste of what it means in the next world where your sins will be revealed in the Bezin Shalmaila. That's what it means. And this is fair game. Because if you're coming to the yeshiva, you're coming, you're asking for it. And when you leave the yeshiva, then the rules apply once again. You mevaza someone outside the balls of the Beis Medrash, of the Musa yeshiva. Ein loy chelek lo'olam haba. That's what it says over here. Moshe Rabbeinu, he had a Musa yeshiva. It says here, he in the mevaza, shebizman shemoidim loy lo'odam chetoy, umachlim imoisa. You know what that means? Machlim, he put the person to shame. Osu misnachem al daitoy. Of course, he has to want to do tshuva, become a better person. He told them, you're sinners. He was mevaza them. Mamrim heyisem kidei lahashivam. There was a purpose. He was the Baal Musra. There was a Musra yeshiva in the Midbar. When the Nevim were mevaza, it was a different set of rules. It's an amazing thing. We're so far removed from this. We live in America. Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem. And today you can't do this. Today, this is out the window. This is unheard of. It's unacceptable. You'll be fired in an instant. Because that's the way we are in America. That's how it is. It is what it is. You can't fight City Hall. This is the way it is. It's not going to change. Not anytime soon. But you have to appreciate that when you don't have these tools in your possession, don't expect people to become Baalei Musar. Don't expect. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's been noted by everyone across the board, we lack Musar. We lack Musar. And the reason we lack Musar is not just because we don't learn Mesilas Yesharim. It's not going to help Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim is only going to help together with being in an environment of Musar. I don't know. Avigdor Miller was out of the box. I don't know. You can't ask Kashmir Avigdor Miller, okay? He did different things. His mahalach was very. He would love to have a Musar yeshiva, right? He would have loved to have but he didn't. I know he said a lot of very, very out of the box things. And And it definitely doesn't fit. It does. I don't think it fits in with the mahalach of the Musa Yeshivas. This is this mahalach. I'm not a big bucky of Migdon Miller. I find it very entertaining. Right? I'm not saying any chidush in here. Okay? They give out now. It's a new mishnah. They give out now every Friday, every Shabbos, the pamphlets. It says some of the most outrageous things. The most. I'm shocked. 10 years, 20 years ago, you never would be able to get away. Today, we live in a world today where you can get away with a lot of crazy things today. 20 years ago, you could never ever put something like that on the table. You can't. Today, you don't even big deal. It says this, says that. Who cares? You could not get away with that. Even 10 years ago, I don't know if you can get away with it. Today, you read what it says there. Okay, some very nice things, but they are. Read the whole thing from cover to cover. There are some. Wow. outrageous continent things. What?
We're jaded, nothing shocked
us. Yeah, that's really what it is. You can get away with it. People can get away with it. We get away with a lot of strange things. Okay. This is the Musar Haskel. This is the message of the Sefer HaChassidim when it comes to Musar, a person. If he hates Toichacha, if he's a Soinei Toichacha, then guess what? It's not going to happen. You're not going to become a Baal Musar. And look, we don't have Musa yeshivas today, but unfortunately, but I mean, to a degree, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows how to give us Musa. Every so often, it comes upon us. Okay, every so often, you get it, or you know where you really get it. You get it where people don't. You're frustrated. You know, people don't reciprocate. You're very good to someone. You're very kind to someone, and there's no reciprocation, and it hurts. It really, really hurts. You go, that's Musar. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam speaking to you. It's something that you can't, it's really priceless. These type of things, you can't get today. You can't ask for it. There are times when a person is humble just through life experience. You go through the day, you do nothing wrong, and someone, there are things that happen that come upon you. Look at those things. Okay, easy to say, right? Look at those things, opportunities. Priceless opportunities of the mekabel the bizyonos. No, so they don't appreciate who you are. They don't know the facts. Be mekabel it. They think the wrong things. You don't know what you're doing to your neshama. You have no hasaga. We have no hasaga when we just accept abuse. We accept it? No. You accept, of course, you don't have to accept abuse. You know, there's obviously everything has to be taken in context. You know, don't get carried away. But there are times everyone knows in their own life, let it go, be mekabel it. It's an opportunity for one to improve his neshama, to realize what his purpose is in this world. The world does not revolve around us. It revolves around Hashem. And we're just here to serve. It's easy to say these words, but it's very hard to really live with these words, and you have a humbling experience, it makes it a little bit easier. And that's the most that we can expect to fulfill what it says here in the Sefer Chassidim. Let's look a little bit more. Lefichach, okay, next paragraph. Tzarech lahamid b'chol kilas Yisrael b'chol kohol kohol ish zokin v'chokam yor Hashem min urav, a real yor Hashemayim from his youth. V'ohov letzav, every word the Sefer Chassidim says, you should know, is filled with wisdom. It's filled with wisdom. This is not like, you know, a modern-day sefer. You think it's very simple, you know, read the words. If it would be a modern-day sefer, you would just, you know, brush it off. This was written 800 years ago by very holy people. Every word here is powerful. Every expression he says, when you medayik in the words that it says, it's really full of gems. I think the sefer is really underrated. It's not been discovered to the degree that it deserves. Now, look at this beautiful edition. This is Hanukkah Press. This edition only came out about 6 months ago. This edition. I mean, this is unbelievable. Until now, it wasn't so easy to learn this. Yorei Hashem in Ura v'ov l'bnei Ira, he's beloved. Lo'ichiach. So hear what it says. Unbelievable concept. Every city has a duty to appoint a person to do one thing, full-time job. Could you imagine this in Flatbush? Can you imagine such a thing? There are many self-appointed people who do this. But unlicensed people, their full-time job is to give Musar. to walk the streets and to give Musar. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to accept the Musar unless you appoint him, unless you give him that power, you empower him. You have to appoint him. It's an incredible thing. A person who is known minu'urav to be a yorei shemaim. He's ohov, he's a beloved person. Hard to find these qualifications. And to appoint him, to give him the license, the legitimacy, the authority to give Musar to the tzibur. Yeah, to a degree. Magidim had a very bad reputation in Europe. Magidim were viewed to be like collectors. Today, a collector walking. No, I'm not joking. Okay, they were tall to the people they came. They had tall. They had magidim, but they would look like they would not looked. They were not looked upon with favorably. For example, the Meshe Chachma. The Meshe Chachma. They wrote the Ar Sameach. What was his name? How can I forget his name? Meir Simcha. Meir Simcha Midavinsk. Meir Simcha Midavinsk. He wrote the Meshe Chachma when he was very, very young. How old was he when he wrote the Meshe Chachma? The Meshe Chachma was an instant classic. Ad Hayom Hazeh, it is like the go-to sefer for Machshava Drush on the Parsha. It's an instant classic. It's been already the editions and Perushim, super commentaries. And super commentaries on the Meshe Chachma. When he wrote the Sefer, his father objected, told him, do not write, he didn't listen to his father, but he told him, I do not want you to write the Sefer. If you write a Sefer on Chumash at this young age, you'll have a reputation as being a Maggid. And then you'll be finished for life. It's like, basically saying is, you'll get a reputation as being a collector. A collector, because that's what the collectors did. The people who, how do they collect money? You go to shul and you say a drasha, you say after they finish shachris, you get up and you say a vart on the parsha, you say a story on the parsha, and everyone gives you a nebuch, this guy, he has no parnasa, they throw you a quarter. So you look like a homeless beggar. The people who had this, that's what they would do. Today you go on the trains, so they're playing music and they're dancing. They're doing all the. You go on the trains lately? What goes on the trains lately? They entertain you. It's entertain you, and they know how to dance and all these play these musical instruments and sing songs, and they'll tell you your future. They'll read your palm and your forehead. You name it, they'll do it just for a quarter. It's very, very sad. It's very, very pathetic. So that's what Magidim did in ancient times. They didn't have all these talents of playing music. They would go to shul for Parnassah, and they would say a drasha. They would, you'd give them a few bucks. So the Meshe Chachma, who is a real Talmud Chacham, his father, if you're going to write a Sefer on Chumash, then you're going to get a reputation as being a Magid, and you'll have a reputation as being a beggar, and you'll never get a job. You'll never have a chance to get a good parnasa, and for, you know, for your family, for your whole reputation will be destroyed. Can you imagine? That's what it was like. But over here it says he's supposed to appoint a person. It's like a magid. You're saying it's like a magid. It's true. It's like a magid. But this is before the time of magidim. 800 years ago, I don't think they were magidim yet. It was a different culture, different society. You should appoint a person. This individual, he hates Musar. The Einai Shmel Advarav, a person who is a son of Chacham and does not listen to Tichu Yamoid Bechato Oisav, Shehem Be'einav Toivim, and therefore he will remain as a sinner. A person who is a son of Chacham will never become a disciplined person. And therefore a person has to train himself, at least don't hate Musar. Maybe it's not your thing. It's not your thing to go into the lumberyard and ask them for a bagel. It's not your thing. But at least do not be from the category of people who are a soinei toichacha. Okay, we're going to stop here, take a short break, and then we're going to learn about the chag. We're going to learn about inyanei halacha relating to January 1st, New Year's Day.